Welcome back, Crusaders.
I'm Table.
I'm Red.
I'm T-Stain.
And it is I, Shino Brando. And in this issue, we answer an all-important question, why do people like Batman?
I'm just going to preface this entire discussion with, as a big Batman guy, TM, I'm going to play idiot's advocate a lot of this episode and do my best to defend at least one version of Bruce Wayne from sucking slightly less than some of the others.
I hope it's the one from the Gotham TV show.
That one's a child.
Yeah.
I hope it's the one from Titans.
he's terrible.
I went the other direction. That one's an old man.
Yeah. Right. Oh man. I can't look at him and be like, nah. Yeah. No. He doesn't fight crime. Shut up.
That man's never done a backflip.
No.
That man has done a backflip. And used to fight crime. He does not know more. He's more worried about how many diabetes pills he needs to take. Anyway.
Stop this. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, we can roast him as much as we want. There's so much to pick at, but at the end of the day, we all still like him, and why do we?
Right? Why did a company decide that was the book that they were going to name themselves after?
Mm. It's funny you bring that up, because, like, again, Superman came a year beforehand, right? I guess DC at the time. I can't remember what they were called at the time. I'm sure they weren't DC, but they were like, we need more of that. So they got, you know, Bob Kane and Bill Finger. And Bob Kane's like, I got some ideas. So they kind of kicked around, puts around and threw an idea. And then that took off way more than Superman the year after. And here we are. Batman's here, man.
Well, it's definitely got to have something to do with the very, very basic fact that this is a clown without superpowers. This man is running around doing shit. And though these days you're risking a lot to bet that the next issue of Detective Comics will actually involve a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
People fucking love mystery stories, okay? And he used to actually solve crimes and do things.
We promise.
Which, it's engaging. It gets people paying attention and following, and no superpowers punches people. Sometimes he's got a gut. Usually we take that away from him.
Not until really these days where he used the gun with little remorse.
Exactly. That's what people sometimes forget, is Batman started with a gun because that was a method of self-defense besides just pow, you know?
Yeah, punching the shit out of somebody. Yep.
Because guns, okay. Brass knuckles, absolutely not. Ever. No.
Look, if the brass knuckles inside your gloves, is it really still there?
Especially when your gloves are purple. There's no sense hiding brass knuckles, you know?
Did you know that 37% of you aren't subscribed to the channel on YouTube? You can help change that by hitting the subscribe button just below the video. And now, back to the show.
I think the stuff that he uses in place of superpowers throughout the iterations of the franchise are part of where the appeal comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you're never told, but a lot of time you don't know that the Batmobile has a particular function or a particular feature or a particular bell or whistle until he's using it. And I think that really captures the audience's attention, and especially like younger audience if we're talking about the cartoons. I think that it's very fun to imagine yourself as Batman and having the ability to just conjure the solution to your problem.
Now, see, let's pick on that a little bit, because I'm happy you brought that up, because with Batman, right, it's like, so that's plot armor, one, and people like to pick at plot armor, and I don't mind Batman, because I love Batman. So, with him, it's funny that people often, like, think it's just, hey, it's a guy with gadgets, but, like, when you really break down the core of it all, right, if you want to talk the core of it all, this is a man who's got a lot of trust issues, and a lot of artillery based on people that he's met before. So, like, he just doesn't trust you, so he's made weapons to go against you, right? Contingency plan, if you will. A man who lives in... So, like, use fear, but he lives in absolute fear at all times. You know what I mean?
I do, but I'm thinking specifically of, like, the Batman Returns, the Tim Burton one, where that killer just comes out underneath his car. You're suggesting he was previously in a situation where he didn't have that. I was like, oh, you know what would be handy for next time?
Yeah, that's actually carrying around a notebook of improvements to make at all times.
Literally.
And I mean, there's something to be said about a character who every possible flanderization is fucking great. Like, for people unfamiliar with the term, flanderization is when you take one aspect of a character and you exaggerate it beyond belief. Every single aspect of Bruce Wayne's character is fucking hilarious if you take it to 100. Yep. Like, yeah, he makes plans and stuff. Take it further. He's a doomsday prepper. That's why he has his Kill Superman suit. That's why this guy loves kids. Take it to 100. He's got 12 children running around his house and he doesn't know all of their names.
It's funny. The best line I ever heard of kids. So the 2005 animated series, The Batman, had a great arc where he was slowly building the Justice League as he was meeting them one by one. And when he confronted the Martian had like a one-on-one with him, and he literally, you really like know about like Martian lore and DNA. He's like, yeah, I will read about any theory and any lore, no matter how obscure. That's the kind of guy this guy is we're talking about here. Bruce, you can do other things. You're allowed to live, man. It's all right.
This man doesn't know what free time is.
Yes, he does.
No, he's got nothing but free time.
Yeah, he's been reading things obscure.
The man has more passive income than he could ever want. All of these are hobbies.
This is why Alfred always needs to go to the gala, because he's too busy punching the Riddler.
Always the Riddler. But there's also one of those elements of, like, when faced with Martian Manhunter and you go, all right, well, if they're gonna have a fight, how's that gonna go? Because at the end of the day, the way you beat Martian Manhunter is you set him on fire.
Let's talk here.
Some versions of Batman are willing to set Martian Manhunter on fire, and some aren't.
So let's talk about that, because have you watched or read Justice League Babel?
I don't think so.
Well, I think that got translated into Justice League Doom. I think the animated movie where
the Agamemnon protocols.
Yes, exactly. Where if every contingency plan for every member of the Justice League was used against him, he had an emergency plan just in case they snapped. Right. So let's dive into that, because we have to talk about like why Batman is and why we like that. This is someone. If you want to talk philosophy, like why team up with a gang to only want to turn on them if you had, like, you know what I mean? Like, why think that way?
Yeah, who likes a guy who's willing to kill all his friends if he has to?
I'll jump in for that and go, when you start to think, like, big picture, right? And you live in a world of Martians and Doomsday and, like, Darkseid and all of that, it's time to start writing things down and start planning for whether it's your end, the world's end, someone backstabs you, starts to start planning for everything. And so the unfortunate part is it starts to include your friends because they're superpowered and superheroed.
I think it's about powerlessness. It's the world is so big. There are so many things that are scary or dangerous. And most of the time, we actually can't do fuck all. There's nothing you can do to protect yourself from so many things. And so the idea of this guy going, no, there is, there has to be, and I will make a way if there isn't one that exists already. And then taking that philosophy and applying it to everything he encounters. Sure, it's a little harsh, but it is.
It's very much a double-edged sword, man, because with that, it's just like, you know what? There's two ways to look at it. I think Superman has looked at it this way before too, but with that, it's just like, very noble of you, because if we do snap, we're gods, right? So like there should be
they're
someone
coming up
there
against this.
Yeah, you know, someone should be able to stop us. But at the end of the day, it's just like that essentially makes Bruce the most unstoppable man.
I think it was Grant Morrison who was writing the Justice League as gods, and having Batman be an overwhelming like pot of knowledge and be able to take down the rest of them as such a strategist.
That's the thing. I mean, at the end of the day, he's essentially Prometheus.
Yeah, bringing all of that down to Earth level.
To comment on something Red and Table you both brought up earlier, this idea that like he, in the world of chaos, in the world of uncertainty, is working against odds, I think there's something to be said for that, but he's reactive and reactionary in everything that he does.
But like, that's what the plans are for. The whole point is that there is prep work laid down. He's
right.
But at the same time, he's not necessarily persecuting things before they're carried out. You know, he doesn't go.
Yeah. No,
Batman doesn't do preventative justice. Bruce Wayne does sometime, but Batman can't because when he shows up, he's going to break 8 bones and you can't do that on a hunch.
No, I'm not talking about a preemptive strike. But what I am talking about is like not that there's no, but there's a lack of depiction of the work to like make bad things not happen, and not in the sense of a preemptive strike, but like, you know, this has been commentated on before that like you could put the funds that built the Batmobile into social programming. You could work on diversionary measure.
And if I may,
yeah,
he does. He literally does all the time. He literally donates as much money as he possibly can to Gotham's infrastructure, to social programs, to establishing affordable housing, to hell, there's a youth program that gets established for at-risk youth so they don't get into gangs. I get your point. But I promise
you're more baked into the media than I am, so I'm fully willing to say you know more about this than I do.
Don't shoot yourself. It's only been more recent where Bruce has been doing that more. I will tell you right now, in comics, like pre-80s comics, there wasn't much of that going on.
Pre-80s comics was punch a guy in a funny costume.
And that's it.
How do you solve the problem of poverty?
Yeah, yeah, social commentary, you know, came into effect like late 70s, early 80s. So that's when we started getting like a more core Batman. I mean, essentially that like that kind of like Bruce Wayne, we only, like, I swear to God, like 1985. So it's not that long ago.
Yeah, and that's in a response to your audience's politics changing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a discussion recently about censorship where we brought up the Comics Code, and Batman's one of those heroes that got super shaped by it, because initially he was running around solving crimes, fighting mobsters, et cetera, et cetera. And then he wasn't allowed to do that anymore because that was too scary, too violent. So it went to funny guys in costumes, and then people were allowed to do other things, and they decided to get nitty gritty about it. But an issue was that, yeah, politics had changed. It wasn't okay to just punch mentally ill people or poor people in alleys. So you end up just scary rapist in an alley, mugger with a knife, you know, that kind of thing, where full organized stories about systematic problems became harder to write because people weren't interested in Batman giving someone hospital bills for life and ruining their entire life.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I think that in terms of why do people like the character, you probably don't want to read a dissertation on how to solve social problems, even if it's beautifully illustrated. Yeah. Like, I think it's more enjoyable and the audience is able to connect more with those alleyway interactions.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing. I'd say that you brought up connection. With Batman, it's that visceral, raw, you know, like, because, you know, you live in an inner city, you know, these crimes are real crimes. Most of them anyways, that, you know, you see many cops going up against clay guys or guys in, you know what I mean? In cold machine suits. But the raw crime of like, you know, like rape, murder, theft, all that stuff, it's very real, very relatable. And so, again, Batman being very human and, not, you know, not powered, gives us that instant connection of like, anybody can be this guy if you... You know, that whole trip of Batman of, like, you know, he dedicated his life to go learn all this bullshit. Like, he learned, like, all the martial arts. He read all the books, all the science, all that. You know what I mean? Like, he's literally, his IQ should be fucking out the door, right? And apparently he's got, like, the body of, like, a top-tier athlete. So this guy's So it just gives you the idea of, like, hey, if given the time of, like, strengthening your body and your mind, you too can be Batman. And that's why everybody just kind of connects to him so much. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, when you hear about a violent crime, don't you kind of wish you could have, you know, done something about it?
Mm-hmm. I wish I could have done something about sometimes nonviolent crimes.
There you go.
And on the other end of the spectrum, why some shitty people like Batman? Because I want to be clear. I'm not trying to be a gatekeepy douche, right? Obviously, you know, blah, blah, comics are for everyone. But there are wrong reasons to like Batman. Same way there are wrong reasons to like The Punisher. There are people who like to see Batman as a cop plus, like cop who's not bogged down by red tape and can just do what needs to be done to solve the thing and
justice.
Whoever deserves it. Yeah.
And it's a very retributive kind of understanding of justice.
Yeah.
As opposed to Batman.
No, he doesn't get to, you know what? At the end of the day, most times Batman is just doesn't get to do what he wants and gets away with it. You know that, right? Like, most of the times when he does that, he still puts himself on the thin line of the law. And so he sometimes gets chased. I mean, he does the job, but I mean, he did it in the wrongest way to get the deed done.
His relationship with his local police, depending on how he manipulates their crime scene, is how they're going to treat him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. And people assume that because Batman and Jim Gordon are usually on good terms, that Batman and the Gotham City Police Department are usually on good terms. And that's not true.
No, man. It's just Jim amongst many that he has to tell sometimes, shoot on sight, even though he's still working with the man.
every right? cop in Gotham sucks at least a little. Like,
it's not but... ACAB, all caps are bastards. It's ACAB's, all cops are Batman's friends.
But yeah, it's that idea that, like, oh, if only we could just do the things we wanted to do. If there was someone who was capable of pulling it all off, it would be okay. Obviously, they're using it in a bad way here, but it's the same concept.
Yeah.
I guess that's just, that's what it comes back to over and over again, is it's possible. Whatever you wish the world was like, whatever you wish you could do personally, it's possible if you put in the effort.
Yeah, Batman has a real, and I know I'm not the first person to comment on this, but Batman's whole storyline is so driven by the idea of, like, free will. And Batman as a character, like, when you compare him to the other DC great Superman, like, Superman is always a good guy, and Superman is kind of infallible, or at least often shown to be. But Batman, in theory, could screw up, and Batman just has a lot of agency because he's not bound by the narrative of he's this good otherworldly being.
Sometimes he is just a guy in a furry suit on the streets of Gotham.
In a furry suit, she says.
Wow.
I heard.
There's been persona. Right? Like, really, man?
Right? Well, see, I mean, as the character sort of started with, like, an interpretation of Zorro and the Phantom and spinning out of that.
And the shadow, yeah.
And the shadow. Yeah. It's, like, going back to his crime, pow, bam sort of days of doing that in comics. That's exactly it. It's, you know, Zorro was a little bit your everyman, right? The Phantom was an expert in his field, but not quite the everyman.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they did their thing. It's just that with Bob Kane, he was just like, I want to make anything that anybody can do, Batman does better, right? No matter what, if you think your dude's good, Batman's better, period.
Right.
So that's why he's got all that going on for him.
Batman being the everyman, but also the everyman you would want to be, the everyman who has endless resources, endless time, everything. And endless intellect.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he doesn't, in a lot of the media, and a lot of the mainstream media that you, kind of your layman audience would see, he doesn't have the weaknesses that an everyman like Spider-Man has. Right?
He doesn't have a family go after. He already lost them.
Yes. Yeah. But Batman's relationship to technology in the narrative of the story and the purpose it serves in the story, is it that different from a Green Lantern ring?
Not necessarily, no. Right? Green Lantern's got to use your imagination, but I mean, about anything, but, really. Yeah.
Yeah, but
he just had to use his imagination 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, he had to use his imagination 3 weeks ago and, like, stand in front of a really cool computer screen that's clear from the backside for no reason.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't know he needed bat shark repellent until he ran into a shark one day.
And was like, ah, fuck.
That's also, you know, that's also in contract. If Batman loses, he wins the rematch no matter what, because he knows how to beat you down. Right. Period.
Mm-hmm. Which is kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
It's an idealized everyman. Like, but you can make whatever jokes you want about Mary Sue's, but that's Batman. That is who he is. That's what he's for.
The male form is Larry Stew.
My apologies, T Stain. Batman's a Larry Stew.
I'll take the Larry Stews. Larry Stews are fine. All right.
And sometimes that's fun.
Right? There's an aspect of Batman that we're not so much talking about, mostly because there's something coming up in pop culture that is mainly focused around the central character himself. However, for a hot second, the other reason I think a lot of people like Batman is when we start to take one step away and start to build the Bat family.
You know, before you go there, okay, I want to touch on something because that's bigger.
Right.
But wait, talk about the look first before we get to any of that. Why does that work? Because you brought up the Phantom, you brought up the Shadow. You brought up, who else was there that we brought up?
Big ones we talked about.
Zorro.
Yeah, Zorro, exactly. So, you know, and he's around the same time as those guys in print, really. Maybe 10 years after, if not only a few, not that much. So why, you know, those guys were dressed down in what? Like, the Phantom had like a onesie with a domino mask, right?
Right.
You had Zorro with just a simple black getup, a cape and a hat. Shadow was just a fedora with a long jacket and a scarf. So why a bat? And why does that work? And why then?
Pointy.
No one else is doing it, right? And what would possess someone to dress down in a bat costume? And why does it work? And why does everybody like it so much? Even though you, like, Tablehead just poked fun of it, like calling it a furry suit, right?
Right. But then at the end of the day, break down the furry suit, if you will.
Right. And at the end of the day, if you found one, you'd probably put it on.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, depending on how much latex that thing's really made of, but yeah.
Right, exactly. But, so what?
So, I think to start off that part is, let's look at the way back, right? You've got all these influences, and then you've got the mastermind behind it all that deserves the recognition that very recently he's starting to get, Bill Finger.
Yes, deserving, right? Actually.
Yeah. Right? Not only did he take what Bob Kane had, distilling your pulp heroes we just named, but turned it into our Cape Crusader, you have him going around in the middle of the night going to right wrongs. And that's sort of where that lineage starts.
In fact, his first costume, it was stupid. Have you ever seen his first like drafted costume?
Yeah, the one that's assigned to Bob Kane most times.
Mm-hmm. That thing is terrible, man. Thank you, Bill Finger, for fixing that, man, because that would have been a mistake.
Look, yeah. I think the best version of Batman's costume is when he is an amorphous black blob with pointy ears.
And see,
okay, you know,
And that's something to go into a little bit, because his early interpretation, his gloves were fucking purple.
They were fucking purple.
Very strange.
Why? Because they could be.
And you know, they were commissioned because compared to his counterparts, like Flash, you know, Wonder Woman and Superman, like he was the most darkest thing on print. And so they were asked to make him more lighthearted like a year later. And that's when he got the more smiley face and kind of a tint of blue on him.
Which
like
has found its own...
too much. Calm him down.
Yeah.
Which found his own roots in pop culture, because much later on, Todd McFarlane would go, actually, that's what I'm drawing. And I've got really cool statues of blue flailing in the wind, you know, year two Batman.
Again, see, the costume, were, like, no matter how much you change, and he changed it again, and like at the end, you brought it up, I think that's like early 80s or mid 80s. So I think that look only came around when Frank Miller essentially took over that run, right, with Dark Knight Returns. Yep. That's when everything changed for the better. So yeah, I think that's about maybe an early 90s run. But yeah, like, see, his costume, again, it works. No matter throughout the years, it just works. Even if you shorten the ears and give him a smiley face, it still fucking works.
Even when you do the stupidest thing and you put the big yellow thing on his belt, it still found a way to work.
Well, why did we find a bat cool, man? If you look at his costume, Killer, the only thing that's close to it, a bat, is actually his cape. The ears don't make any fucking sense.
Yeah, he doesn't go around using echolocation, like...
Right? And his pointy ears, they don't look like bat ears. They just look like pointy tips. But I mean,
just
all right, cool.
It's just an homage to a bat.
Right? I guess so, right? I suppose so. But yeah, they know even it symbol works. People just, I don't know, like that look of it. It's always some kind of like sleek look, even if it's got the lederhosen in the front, right? Yeah, like a pro wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it still works out, man. It's still an enjoyable costume. There's been, you know, countless ripoffs throughout the years, and they just don't work like Batman.
Yeah, he managed to hit something special.
Yeah, even when you tweak it for something like Batman Beyond, they did it again, right? And that's even more simplified, and it still works. You have ripoffs of that costume, and they just don't work as well.
Ripoff, that's also mostly a onesie.
Yeah.
Oh, it's 100%. It's a tactical onesie, mind you, but a onesie nonetheless.
But now, that brings up, a year later, it gave him a more lighthearted look, and that's because he had to be accompanied by a child. That's where you want to take over, right?
Yeah. So, again, it isn't the big narrative, but let's hop here for a second. We start with a Robin, and now we've got 16, depending on how DC wants to count today.
Mm-hmm.
But
class sizes only ever get bigger.
There you go. Facts. There you go. Right?
Top funding and education.
Exactly. Batman started his own orphanage, funds his own orphanage. It's called Wayne Enterprises.
Charles Xavier, is that you?
Exactly. But as we start to build from one Robin to a second Robin, that one gets, you know, beat with the good stick.
Oh, God.
The good
crowbar.
Exactly. Right? All good sticks are made of metal and curved. Anyway, you start to build a family now for some reason, well, we know why, encompasses Harley Quinn.
Money. Money makes her accompany the team.
That is money, correct?
Yeah.
I feel like that idea is, so we go, we build this clever super guy who can do whatever you want as long as it fixes the plot. And that's great. And it's nice. And it's fun. But some people are going to be a little bit intimidated by that. Some people are going to go, yo, what the hell? Every time he does something. So you throw in a kid in a funny little suit and you go, look at this little guy. Isn't he friendly? Isn't he approachable? Don't you want to relate to this kid? Because he also goes, wow, Batman, what?
Right. Holy insert joke, Batman. Child audience, can be Robin and accompany Batman. Since you don't feel like you're an old man in a costume, you could be this child in a costume. Why does Batman love child soldiers so much?
Well, it also gives the opportunity for the good guys to make mistakes and for Batman's side to make mistakes, but Batman himself doesn't make mistakes.
Yeah.
And we never want to think of ourselves as people who make mistakes, so I think that we like being able to imagine that we're Batman and imagine that we'd get it all right, but the narrative still requires that good guys make mistakes. So Robin can bumble and Batman can continue to be awesome.
I suppose. Yeah. So, you know, see, I would counter that because most of the times it shows that with when he has a Robin, sometimes Batman bumbles like a bumblefuck and Robin has to come get his ass out of things, right? And that's where the insert Robin did just show like, hey, you can't do everything, Batman, even though you know you want to, you can't. So I don't know.
I mean, there's a reason the boy hostage trope exists, you know? Robin spends a lot of time tied up, but it's one of those staples of earlier comics with particularly the first Robin.
Yeah.
But yeah, sometimes Batman does just goof because he's trying to parent in a situation where you shouldn't be parenting at all.
Mm-hmm. The amount of times Dick Grayson must have told this guy to fuck off is I don't have enough hands.
Yeah, you really got to get the tally system out to count that.
Yeah.
Honestly, don't pull out your goddamn abacus.
Like, man, even after leaving and then having to team up with the old boss man and in his new persona, even then he still tells the guy to fuck off.
Yeah, once Dick Grayson Robin like reaches his next evolution, that's about mostly what he does is, actually, Batman, you're wrong. Let's do it this way.
Yeah, yeah.
You right? Yeah, pompous does... asshole.
We get to have that conflict. We get to have character interactions. We get to have relationships that when you have one guy perched on a building like a gargoyle, you don't necessarily get to have. So we get, I don't want to call it grounding, but we get something else to look at, other types of stories to tell.
The beauty of it is because Bruce, and most of the times Bruce is written as a know-it-all, and that can get really annoying for a lot of people around him, you know? So right. That's where that dynamic comes in. So it's like, you know, like, Jesus Christ, Bruce, shut up. You know, like, okay, dude, we get it. Yeah. You're Batman. You know, we know you're Batman. We get it.
I'm Batman.
We know.
We've heard.
Right. Thanks for reminding me again.
Maybe he should just wear a name tag.
Like, you know what I mean? Well, he does on his goddamn chest in a big yellow symbol. Just shoot me here, he said.
It's so stupid. It shouldn't be yellow.
No, but you know what? They explained that.
Maybe that's more heavily armored, so he's giving them something to shoot at. But
thank you for... Yeah, no, the table's got it right, because in the actual handbook of his costume, he's heavily Kevlar'd underneath there. It's to make sure that no one aims at his fucking head.
Oh, I'm sure.
This bright yellow spot. Shoot this.
I'm sure this is also why. I just still think it's dumb.
Well, this is also the reason why Robin's dressed in such bright colors. Shoot at the child. Forget about me.
You're assuming, like, pretty good aim, too. Like, that little yellow square on your chest, okay, that's reinforced, but, like, do you think they're going to hit the square?
They're gonna try. There's
a story where someone...
yes, but they're shooting a handgun one-handed outside a car window. Like,
true enough, it's a random shot. Yeah.
At that point, they're lucky to hit anything.
I still say, but at the same time, like, Bruce, that's kind of stupid because your mouth is always exposed. So I'll just aim for your jaw. I mean, I'm pretty sure if I shoot you in the mouth, you're probably gonna die there too. And you're not. There's nothing there covering your mouth. Nothing.
Well, some versions of Batman fix this.
Uh oh.
But then we have to get into the discussion about why is it the first on page black Batman is covering the lower half of his face, especially when his stories heavily feature cops. Oh. And no one really wants to have that conversation.
Oh,
I think you do because you keep bringing it up.
Oh boy. Hey Jace.
I agree.
Brother, man, it's hard being a brother sometimes, I guess.
I'm just saying the only reason that Batman leaves it there is so the cops can see that he's white.
Also so he could eat snacks on patrol.
Right?
Real, for real.
Bat granola bars.
I'll have a bat boba tea. It's just a boba tea. Yeah.
But I'm drinking it, so I'm Batman.
Tapioca balls are shaped like little bats.
I'll have bat lychee in it. It's just lychee, Batman. I'm the knight.
Batman would drink lychee. You nailed it.
Thank you. I mean, so let's break it down. So then, okay, Table, why do you like Batman so much?
I like Batman because, definitely in part, I like the infinitely better version of Batman that lives in my head. And I think everyone has a better version of Batman that lives in their head that they get to spend time with if they want. And that guy's pretty fucking cool.
Right on. Red?
I like Batman as a start of, right, those that have been around a while know that I love Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And Batman is the point A of 1,000,000 legacies.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I like Batman because he started all these stories, but I could take or leave the man himself. I don't care if he's old or young or Gotham or Titans or, you know, wherever he lies, as long as he's there and gets to talk to his successors, I'm good.
Right on. T-Stain?
I like Batman as kind of a pulse point for the way we think about justice and how justice should operate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the way we look at the character's evolution over time and the times that the character does one thing or doesn't do one thing. Like the whole not killing people thing.
Yes.
Is very much like in the line of death penalty abolition, which I fully support. But he doesn't get into the broader discussion of prison abolition. Right? I just think that as a character, he's very interesting for the way that we think order exists in our society and the way we think justice should be practiced.
Yeah, the judicial system and how it should really go down.
I think as a character, the way, like, he kind of mirrors that he's just sort of a pulse point.
See, I'll reflect on that because that's for me too, because I enjoy Batman just on the fact that, like, this is this, and in particular, Bruce, because. I mean, they all do it, but Bruce in particular, because he's the first, and Bruce, Batman Prime here is the one that pushes the boundaries, and I, to a degree, kind of respect a little sort of vigilantism in the fact that, like, you will take it upon yourself to go and stop the crime if you can. I always will believe in a citizen's arrest, bro. If you can help stop something from going down, then do it. Especially if you have the ability. If I knew more kung fu, but I can't do that. But I firmly believe in that kind of stuff. And I respect that kind of character and that kind of drive. And again, his overall dedication to pushing himself. I mean, at the end of the day, Bruce has gone to the point where he's denied himself satisfaction to any type of degree to keep, you know, the war on crime, as he calls it, right? So it's that practitioner and that discipline that I respect. I respect that character, especially with Bruce. You know,
I don't know if my reservation about the character is just kind of a reservation about the model of an upper class savior complex, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where my only reservation with him lies is, like, yes, he's a vigilante, but we also know that, like, if he got caught, he would be able to get himself out of trouble in the way that only rich white dudes can. Right.
Well,
not that he's not taking risks. Like, I'm not undermining everything that he does. I don't know. It's Bruce that gives me more pause than Batman does.
To counter on that, that has been brought up in commentary before, and he's made commentary on that, where the fact that he's brought up, like, it's not his choice that he was born into a rich family. He just happens to be. Yeah. And because of that, he uses what he can, right, to fight crime.
But allyship and acknowledging privilege does a lot.
Yeah.
It's worth remembering that he didn't used to be a billionaire. He used to be just a millionaire, and the difference in scale of those two classes of wealth, like, don't get me wrong, I will never have either of those amounts of money, but a millionaire can't fix an entire city with his own income. He just can't.
Whereas
a billionaire arguably could try, though they definitely shouldn't, because I don't trust billionaires for love or fucking money.
There we go.
But so it used to be a lot of resources, but not technically limitless, you know?
Yeah,
and so that shift in the modern canon creates a lot of really awkward questions.
Right?
Yes, it does.
It was very recently in canon that Batman's wealth was decreased.
Yeah, taken from him.
And I'll never truly understand why that makes a difference from a writing and narrative perspective. It's like, oh, I guess this week I can't afford to pay the insurance on the Batboat. Like, what?
It's just to have him live off the lamb, but, like, even at that, he's still so new. He still has many, many places he can run and hide.
Mm-hmm.
He's got contingency plans, man. It's Bruce Wayne we're talking about here.
Yeah.
And you'd sure hope some of those contingency plans involve, what if I don't have money? No.
I don't think he trusts crypto, so I don't think he does it.
Actually, crypto requires everything to be public record. No way he would commit to that.
Yeah.
Oh, that is true.
All right. In the description, we will have a link to an Amazon affiliate link that will lead us to our favorite Batman stories that kind of exemplify our point. With that in mind, Beastie, if you please.
Thanks for tuning in. If you like this video, go ahead and button mash a thumbs up. If you want to swing by when we have a new video, web up the sub button. Oh, and while you're at it, hit the bell to be notified by.
And is it really Batman Begins, Batman Returns, Batman Forever? I don't know. That's to be continued.